Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Somers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
And Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Time now for a segment we will call... A segment with Richard Justice of MajorLeagueBaseball.com. Richard, how are you?
I'm good, Steve, and I like that the name of that segment. That's good.
And I'm looking from, because I asked Matt Casey, the producer, to get me out of Wikipedia your bio so I could see all of what you have done. And I see you worked for the Baltimore Sun, the Washington Post, the Dallas Morning News, the Houston Chronicle. You have a resume like mine where you would hope most people would say, well, gee, this guy has a lot of experience. Although in my case, everybody used to say, what, you can't hold a job?
I get that, too.
Well, I don't imagine too much for anyone who has seen your work. It's excellent. And I thank you really very much for a couple of minutes of your time. Let me ask you, first of all. How about these New York Metropolitans? We'll talk about the Mets, we'll talk about the Yankees, we'll try to go around the horn with what time we have. But what about when the Mets were 40-51? Give me your take on what kind of a season you would think they would have the rest of the way.
Well, I thought it was a mess. But the one thing that you could cling to is you said these starting pitchers have a history, they have a track record, and at some point, they're going to be what they have always been. And, Steve, you know where I think the turning point was? You're going to laugh at this. I think it was the home run hitting contest. I think it was Alonzo winning. He was there in the locker room by McNeil. And I remember a Mets official said to me, we really needed this. And you could just see those two guys sort of grow up right in front of the eyes. And I know they were already playing well by then. But it was a shot of confidence. And it changed the narrative about the Mets. And then, of course, you know, Syndergaard and DeGrom became what we figured they would be.
Mm-hmm.
Brody Van Wagenen added a club. He didn't subtract. It's a lot of different things. And, you know, you look at October, you looked at a club built for October. This club gets in. You've got a monster rotation. I mean, they've got a chance. And, like, you watch some of these games. The way they come from behind, the dugout looks like a street party. They're a dangerous team.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I would certainly agree with you with Alonzo. And yes, winning the home run derby, which is basically the regular season in 2019,
right,
on a nightly basis, is with the home run derby. And I thought the home run derby really just paid homage to batting practice, exit velocity, and launch angle.
Right.
But here's the thing. Alonzo and McNeil established themselves even before the home run derby. But look at the bullpen and look at Rosario, look at Conforto, look at Wilson Ramos. I don't think too many of us saw this happening.
No. You know, I'll say this, though. In spring training, Mickey Callaway said, what we're going to do with Conforto, we're going to get out of his way, and we're just going to let him be who he's going to be because we think he's going to be a great player.
Mm-hmm.
Rosario is a guy I had not seen a lot of, but when you talked to him and you watched him in spring training, you went, my God, this guy's got a chance to be really special. And what we've seen is just, it's a great mix of veteran guys and these young guys that are just growing up right in front of our eyes and figuring out. And, of course, the dominant starting pitch.
And the dominance of J.D. Davis. This guy's...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this guy's a player. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, when they got him, I said to Brody, I said, he can be your he can be a third closer or something, because he was a closer at Cal State Fullerton, and he pitched a couple of times for the Astros. He was one of those guys that, you know, he had nothing else to prove at Triple A, and you just said, you've got to put – somebody has to believe in this guy and give him a chance to play and find out what he's going to be. The Astros projected him as a hitter, but I don't think anybody projected him as being a hitter at this level. I mean, who could? How could you know?
Well, the interesting thing, we knew about DeGrom, and we felt apparently Richard is at the Bronx Zoo.
I'm at Minute Maid Park having a look.
Well, that could be zoo-like, I would imagine.
Yes.
And certainly Minute Maid Park is not where the New York Yankees want to be for any kind of a Game 7. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is that issue. I think all these teams, and I include the Astros and the Dodgers in this, they all have things to address right now. So while you would like to get home field advantage throughout, I think it's more important for all those teams to fix their issues. The Yankees have to figure out something with the rotation. The Dodgers don't have a closer right now that they trust. The Astros don't have their shortstop. They don't have their eighth inning guy. So I think rather than have home field advantage, and they'd all like to have it, I think what they'd all like to do is just get themselves in a place where they feel good about themselves going into the postseason.
No, for sure. And of course, the Dodgers wanted to get, I know, a left-handed reliever to set up their closer, Jensen, but they were not. It seems like all hell is breaking loose at Minute Maid Park, Richard.
I'm sorry about that. It is, it's that I was here when they were drawing 2,000 a night. Now they're drawing 40,000 a night, so it gets a little crazy at times.
Yeah, that train that stretches across left field is packed these days. Not only is it tough to get a ticket to sit in the stands at Minute Maid Park, but to get a train ride is almost impossible from what I understand as well. The bottom line is, and we're talking with Richard Justice of MajorLeagueBaseball.com, And trying to touch on a little bit with the Metropolitans and with the Yankees. Richard, getting back to the Metropolitans for just a second, they were 40-51, and here they are 21-5 in their last 26 games. And yes, you could talk about the rotation, but the defense is better. The bullpen has been better. The hitting has been lights out with a couple of players that we didn't expect to be with lights out, and that includes a Wilson Ramos, who was just not getting it done defensively. DeGrom and Syndergaard didn't want to work with him. Now they can't work without him. He's on a 16-game hitting streak, and the last Metropolitan to do that was Carlos Beltran in 2009. So everything is clicking for a team that where nothing was clicking for the first 71 or so games.
Yeah, you know, I think in some of this is just a return to the mean. I think we knew the rotation would be. I think Edwin Diaz has been maybe the biggest surprise in baseball to me, Steve, because I saw him the last 2 years, and he was as close to unhittable as any closer you'll ever see. But I think what we couldn't project is Conforto and Rosario and those guys just
right,
growing up in front of our eyes. And some of the veteran guys, you just didn't know what they had in them. I mean, you think about it. Pete Alonso was fighting for a job in spring training. We didn't even know if he'd make the team. And he's become a superstar.
And you could say that about J.D. Davis. All right. And again, I think I said 71 games. There were 40-51, which adds up to 91. The Yankees with their starting rotation. I have been thinking and actually been talking with a number of Yankee fans. And yes, it is a concern. They've given up a lot of runs, the starters have, in the very first inning. And Happ has been a disappointment. Paxton, at best, has been inconsistent. Tanaka's about the one starter they can trust, and even he had his issues with Oakland giving up the three runs in the first inning and the third game of their series. The bottom line is, what do the Yankees do in the postseason to get the most out of a starting rotation that is with so many question marks? What do the Yankees do in serious October baseball to get their bullpen up and ready and in the game more sooner than later?
Well, that'll be exactly it. But if you look at the last two teams that won the World Series, the Astros and Red Sox, up was down, in was out. They moved starters to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. They just looked at, we've got 12 pitchers on our staff, 11 pitchers, whatever, and we're going to use them in whatever inning we have. And you have to manage with your hair on fire. You have to manage every out and just go from there. And they don't know that Luis Severino is not going to pitch. I mean, so that would be a huge boost. And I think they still trust Tanaka. He wasn't great yesterday. And you have to hope that one of those other guys, Happ or Paxton, gives you a few innings, but this is where we're at in the game right now. You saw the way Milwaukee played in the playoffs last year. I mean, they got three innings out of a starter. They were perfectly happy to go with it. Mm-hmm. And the Yankees have such a deep lineup and such a deep bullpen that you play to your strengths, and you have to get around your weaknesses the best you can.
And we remember when Houston against the Yankees brought out of the bullpen Morton, brought out of the bullpen McCullers, and they were able to get the job done when not too many people in Houston were that confident about the bullpen.
That's right, and that's the way the Red Sox won last year.
Sure.
That's the way the Astros won the World Series. They were basically piggybacking pitchers onto each other, and just you and I are of an age where we remember where maybe you played for the outs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th, mm-hmm. one out at a time. Well, now you start playing, you do that in the 4th and the 5th inning. I used to think, and managers Bobby Cox and Bruce Bochy, I talked to them a lot about it, like that you manage the postseason the same as you manage the regular season. But the way Joe Torre used Mariano Rivera, if I need you for 4, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to pitch 4. That's the way every manager is doing it. You just go out by out after, when you start seeing your starter after he gets through the lineup, maybe even a first time.
And you bring up with the Red Sox, they took Nathan Eovaldi, and look at what he did coming out of the bullpen. The Yankees have lost 4 in a row. They're in Los Angeles. They're in Hollywood tonight for the next 3 games. And Yankee fans are ready to jump off the ledge, Richard.
Well, now, this is a good matchup because the Dodgers have a lot of flexibility in the position players, and they have deep, deep starting pitching. So it's a good contrast. But really, it's just a little litmus test about where you are. Every Yankee fan knows there's an issue with the starting pitching. But so far, the strengths have overcome the weaknesses. And, I can tell you, just knowing teams that are preparing to play the Yankees in the postseason, that lineup presents a lot of problems because when you look at what LeMahieu has done and Urshela and all those guys, mm-hmm. it's we may have shootouts. I know that's not the history of the game, but who knows? The game is different than it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I've been talking that it might be easier for the Yankees to take on the Dodgers in the World Series than taking on the Oakland A's in a wild card game.
Yeah, well, you want to avoid that. You don't want to. No, they need to win the division and go from there. And, Oakland feels pretty good about itself. I mean, right now, if you look at Oakland, there's probably not a team in the American League that feels more confident in itself, especially since Liam Hendricks has sort of established himself in the closer's role. But, October is a completely different animal.
Oh, there's no question about that. And if you were to pick now, at this point on the eve of September, still a lot of baseball to play, who do you like in the World Series as we speak right now?
No, I like the Dodgers, and I don't know in the American League. I think Cleveland is a very dangerous team, less so without Corey Kluber. And I'll tell you a team, the team that we're probably not going to talk about is Washington, because they have Strasburg, Corbin, and they're hoping Max Scherzer. that is what you look for in October. And I think when you look to October, you look at what Cleveland's got in terms of starting pitching, what Houston's got in terms of Cole and Verlander. All those are dangerous teams. But I think Theo Epstein sort of said this a couple of years ago, the more you think you know about postseason baseball, the less you actually do know.
Think the Mets are getting in?
I do think the Mets are getting in, but that would mean who's getting out. I think Washington's getting in, too. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm saying the Mets over the Cardinals to get that final spot, but the Cardinals have played awfully well. I just think there's a magic around the Mets, and I've been around teams before that you come in every day and you think you're going to win, and whatever it takes, whether it's J.D. Davis, whether it's Syndergaard, whether it's somebody in the bullpen getting it out, you're going to do it, you know. And I mean, I talked to Mickey Callaway about this a couple of weeks ago, and he said it's almost like, and you hear NFL coaches say this, it's like the whole thing's taken on a life of its own, and I'm sure the Mets feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are 37-21 at home, and 23 of their final 35 games are at home as well. So that certainly favors the Metropolitans. Richard, I can't thank you enough for a couple minutes of your time, and do enjoy the rest of what we have with this very exciting and unpredictable baseball season. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.